But right now, we're going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Talk some British Open. Francisco Molinari is the defending champ. Our guest joined us prior to the U.S. Open. He's the co-host of the Golf Pod on Believe Radio. Visit Believe.com, spell it B-L-E-A-V, and click on the green Golf Pod icon. We welcome back in Dave Kamens. Dave, appreciate the time. How are things?
Always a pleasure to be back in Eugene, and I had some Molinari for lunch today, oddly enough.
Do you go with the marinara sauce or a little garlic and olive oil?
Yeah, no, garlic and olive oil all the way. That's just tastier.
So I'm going to tell you, I'm 58 years old, and forever we had the Masters, a two-month break, the U.S. Open, the British, and the PGA wrapped up the Grand Slam season. And as you know, this year they moved the PGA to May. So kind of a two-parter. What did you think of that decision when it was announced? And now that we've seen it, how that scheduling decision has played out?
Yeah, look, it's all for the betterment of the game. They had to get away from football. So the FedEx Cup was sort of buried in the beginning of football season. And so it was a strategic scheduling move. How do I feel about it? I like that the Open Championship is going to be the final major. I don't know. I'm not that tied to the placement of the majors as much as I really want to celebrate each one of them. And I think it's cool that it goes April, May, June, July, we have big events. And plus, with Wimbledon behind us and obviously no football, you know, a little bit of mid-season baseball, it's a great timing to just settle in and enjoy the golf.
You know, as far as this event, I've asked golfers for years about this. So over the years, you know, I began golfing when I was 14. And I always say, so when you started golfing and you were on the practice green with your buddies and you were over that 15-footer, in your mind was the dream to win the Masters, U.S. Open, or British Open?
I think I'd flip-flop when I was a kid between U.S. Open and Masters. It certainly wasn't the Open Championship. It depended what I'd watched most recently. My dreams got dashed. I wanted to be a pro at one point. My dreams got dashed when I was a senior in high school, and a guy at a neighboring high school, I shot a great round, and he beat me by 10 shots. And he went on to be on tour. So I had my wake-up call, and I enjoyed it. But I never once again thought I'd win a U.S. Open until my sister happened to win a USGA National Women's Senior Amateur. So that was exciting. And so now I'm thinking, do I make a late comeback as as an older man?
There you go. For me, it's going to have to be the super, super senior tour. Whoa. I think he just went bye-bye. What's been with the deal with what's the deal with the cell phones today? And ironically, the two guys we've had on have a 541 and a 503 area code. So they're, at least in state, if not exactly local. I do believe that Dave works primarily up and down the West Coast. And, of course, we know that Austin was talking to us from his new stomping grounds. All right. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Dave. If you're going to cut off, you got to say what you had to say. And I didn't even start my question, so good timing there.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
No, don't sweat it. Talking with Dave Kamens of the Golf Pod on Believe Radio. Most of us, you think of the British Open at St. Andrews, Carnoustie, who hosted last year, Muirfield, Turnberry. But now it's Royal Portrush, who last hosted in 1951. So the folks you've talked to, what's the buzz about this track? And maybe some of the mystique that might add to an Open Championship at such an unfamiliar venue.
Yeah, there's a few things about Royal Portrush. First of all, I've played golf in Northern Ireland, and it's quite a place. The visuals are crazy. The the Irish green grass after some rains like they've had, it's going to be startling visually.
Right.
You got Rory McIlroy, who shot 61 on this golf course when he was 16 years old. So there is some familiarity among some of the favorites. Your Graham McDowell grew up there. Brooks Koepka's caddy, that was his home track as he was getting started. So there's some familiarity, but to your point, you know, they played the Irish Open there in 2012. But other than that, not a lot of people have played Royal Portrush, which led Tiger to play 36 in 2 days to start the week. So you're going to have, you know, you could have, because of the new track, or new to the Rota, you could have a Johnny jump up, you know, someone who hasn't won another major championship, because and there's no doubt that a new course in the Rota will level the field. I think that happens more often than not.
You know, you mentioned Rory, and obviously, you know, being in Northern Ireland, you know, he won his Open title close by at Royal Liverpool. He's had a huge year, two wins, top 10 in the U.S. Open and the PGA at Bethpage. Right now, what do you like about his game matched with this venue and his shot at capturing a second claret jug?
Well, I think it's going to require accuracy off the tee, and if he can, if his driver behaves, yes, he's absolutely in contention. This is a course you want to play lower along the ground, like most any course in the British Isles. So that's why Tiger has inserted a two iron, a driving iron, in his bag this week. You're going to have those type of shots, and then around the green. It's requires shots that Rory is fantastic at, and those bump and runs. So, yeah, I give him every shot in the world, despite it being, you know, perhaps you might say, a pressure-filled home game, but not so much. That he is driven, not won a major in a while, and boy, oh boy, does he want one. So I give him every chance in the world. I know he'll be there on Sunday. I'd be shocked if he wasn't.
Talking with Dave Kamens of the Golf Pod on Believe Radio, you know, obviously Tiger won the Masters. I mean, probably the sporting event of the year so far. But then he missed the cut at the PGA, had a top 10 at Jack's tournament, was steady at Pebble, but he hasn't played competitively since. I mean, he's, what is it, just 10 competitive rounds. And you said he played 36 holes, and my question would be, how ready can he actually be?
Yeah, I think he's admitted as much, that he is in a bit of a scramble to find it. And I don't think you want to arrive at a major championship trying to find it. And he's also sort of set us up for failure by being so jovial in his news conference. You know, telling Joe, like, literally, let me tell you a funny story. That's how he started one of his answers. He never says that.
Wow.
So I think there's an attempt to be endearing, because I believe he's setting us up for failure. Now, that said, this gentleman can win open championships without his best game. He mentally has the field dominated, other than maybe Brooks Koepka. There's nobody that can handle the bump and the grind and the weather and what it takes to win on this type of track under this kind of microscope. So I know I've sort of sounded like I'm hedging my bets, like he's hedging his. I don't believe his game is going to be ready. I really don't.
You mentioned Koepka, who's just, you know, on one of those runs. He wins two majors back-to-back. He was second to Tiger at the Masters, second to Woodland at the Open last month. But, you know, he's only had one top 10 ever at a British. But, you know, any reason to think that while certainly Rory would, you like you said, the home court edge, that, you know, if not he, then Koepka is not the guy or the co-guy to beat, because, man, has he been showing huge for the majors.
He has, and I want to say that for the next 5 years, I give him, you know, he's in the favorite spot at every major. It just makes sense, right?
Right.
But I would want to say that about the three domestic majors. He also didn't really look that sharp 2 weeks ago on the PGA Tour. He was missing iron shots, I mean, kind of badly for him. I feel like, not that his run is far from over, but I just don't think his game is quite there. However, again, he's got the caddy, the jovial caddy who grew up there. He has unbelievable resolve, ability to hit it straight off the tee, which this requires. But I just don't see him there at the finish. If he does, think about the run. You mentioned it. If he just say he's in top five and potentially going to be a winner on the back nine, this is an unbelievable, continues an unbelievable run that really needs to be celebrated. I mean, this is a man that really could go on and dominate for five more years.
A couple final thoughts for Dave Kamens. You know, we also, 5-6 years ago, Jordan Spieth kind of splashed onto the scene. You know, 2015, he won two majors. He was second today, number one in the world. And we were wondering, is he the next guy who's going to pile up all these majors? You know, he won this event 2 years ago, and that's been his last victory. Where's his game at now? And do you think he should be considered a legit threat this week?
If you think back to that Open Championship victory of his, you know, you'd think of him making, par off of the par off the driving range, right?
Right.
On 15, I think it was. But what you need to always remember about him is that his game is driven by his putter. The years when he was winning consistently, he was the greatest putter on the planet. That has slipped away, as is his iron game to some extent, and his driver's never been a strength. So I don't see him back in form. He's been showing better form, but it's so tough to remain in the top echelon of putters, right? You can't maintain that part of your game from 25 feet when he was best in the world, and now he's not. So, again, I like the kid. I want to see him compete. I want to see him, you know, in that mention of the big four, big five, big six, whatever we got going on in this amazing time in golf. But I don't believe he's with it. I don't think he's ready. But Moxie, he's got more moxie than 10 of those players put together.
And in closing, rather than, you know, more specifics or the course, I mean, you follow the tour, these guys. Is there something I haven't mentioned, a factor or a player that's in the front of your mind and we should be looking for when they tee it off the day after tomorrow?
Well, I mentioned celebrating. Just real quick, when you think about this particular track, you got to tip your cap to Harry Colt, one of the great all-time golf designers of all time. If you ever get a chance to step onto places like Pine Valley or Wentworth or the Eden course at the old course, Royal St. Anne's, I think it is. He has amazing list of courses he's designed. So Harry Colt, as you look at this golf course, give him a tip of the cap. And lastly, player-wise, you know, there's a lot of chatter about Matt Kuchar. He's playing phenomenally. He's been over there for 2 weeks, competing well at both the Irish and the Scottish Opens. Don't be shocked if he was really on his game and he's recovered from that ridiculous caddy gate. That we don't see Cooch down the stretch.
By the way, I know I said that was the last question. For years, going back a decade ago, the answer was Colin Montgomery. Does Cooch have that title right now that nobody wants, the best active player who's never won one?
I love the question. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to give you that one. I probably could come up with another one or two, but I can't right now, so there you go.
All right. Well, if you come up with one, you got my text number. Send it to me, and I'll pass it along.
Stricker got his, but on the Champions Tour.
Okay, that's a good one. All right, folks, he is Dave Kamens. Always our pleasure talking golf. He's the co-host of the Golf Pod on Believe Radio. Go to Believe, BLEAV.com. Click on the green Golf Pod icon. Hey, great stuff. Really appreciate you finding some time for us. Enjoy the Open, and look forward to chatting again down the road, Dave.
You bet. Enjoy it as well.
All right, take it easy.